God is good.
Amen.
Let's turn in our Bibles kind of to the middle of the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We are in a two-part message on giving thanks in light of this Thanksgiving season. Ended a short sermon series on the teachings of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and Advent begins this next Sunday where we celebrate the first coming of Jesus. Last Sunday, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 in Paul's, it's three short verses that are one sentence in the Greek. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And in light of Thanksgiving season, we gave extra focus on why we give thanks and how. Today, we're going to look at one biblical example of God's people giving thanks. And that brings us to the title of today's message, Giving Thanks to the Lord, Yahweh, and seeking his presence. Our passage today in 1 Chronicles 16 is part of King David's song of thanks that he gave for God's people to sing when the ark was being brought back to Jerusalem. And the ark was a long ark in the temple or the tent, depending on what time period we're at, was God would choose to dwell in a special way at the ark and in the temple. So the ark coming back to Jerusalem was very significant. Because of Israel's unfaithfulness, it had been taken by the Philistines, but now David's king, it's coming back. Good things are happening. Now, you and I today, we don't probably get up each day thinking about where the ark is at, this was huge in the eyes of the Israelites, and rightly so. And also, 1st and 2nd Chronicles tells part of the true story about the rise of King David and God's faithfulness. And it's being written probably in the 5 to 300s BC, so long after these events took place, and written to God's people who had come out of 70 years of Babylonian captivity. They're living as a minority people in a fallen world. And Chronicles was written to remind God's people of his faithfulness and his greatness and to call them to godly living. And this is one of those things. So as we read these verses today, bear in mind that it was written not only to tell true salvation history, but it was written to encourage and exhort God's people who were living just after they'd come out of Babylonian captivity, and they were not a powerful people during that time period. And they needed to be encouraged and reminded of God and his greatness. So we are going to pick up in 1 Chronicles 16. The ark is being brought back into Jerusalem. And verses 8 through 36 are a song that David gives for the people to sing, actually taken from three different psalms, which we'll look at. We're just going to read the first six verses. And in these first six verses, the main themes in this entire psalm, most of them are touched upon. So we'll, for our purposes today, we'll do verses 8 through 13. So this has got a song David's given, taken from the psalms, for God's people to sing and give thanks in light of the ark coming back to Jerusalem, which would represent God's holy, powerful presence with his people. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Let's pray. Father, we praise you as the faithful covenant-keeping God. Faithful to you, you are the covenant maker, the promise keeper. Hallelujah. Thank you that you had the author of Chronicles write these words down. Words given from the psalmist, from David, for God's people to sing at a time of great celebration, and words that can instruct and encourage us today. We're thankful that you were faithful in the days of King David, faithful during the time in which your people were in Babylonian captivity, faithful to your people when they came out of it, faithful during the days in which your son was born, faithful down through church history and in the year 2023, for those of us gathered here, worshiping together, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's five key commands in these six verses. Each one starts off with an exhortation, and here's a summary of the first. Give thanks to the Lord in our worship and witness. Verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. This is how this song that David has given God's people begins. And the word thanks here includes not just giving thanks, but it has the idea of giving thanks with praise. In fact, I think in the NIV it's translated praise. But there's a call here for God's people to give thanks, and it's with the idea of like an upward praise as we do so. And as we'll see, giving thanks to the Lord, Yahweh, is part of how we worship him. It's also part of our witness. Old Testament Israel was to be a witness, a light to the Gentiles. You and I as Christians are part of the church, and Jesus tells his disciples, you are salt of the earth, you are light of the world. And we are to be a light of the world by Jesus living in and his light shining through us as we bear witness to the ultimate light, Jesus. And as we'll see in this passage, giving thanks is both part of our worship, it's also part of our gospel witness. And that was one of the points from last Sunday as well. And just briefly, last Sunday when we looked in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, those three short verses that Paul calls, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And you notice, as we'll see in this passage today, that the themes of rejoicing and giving thanks go hand in hand. It goes with praise. And we also saw there's multiple reasons why we should give thanks and how. And we're looking at one example here today from 1 Chronicles 16. But we give thanks, why? To worship the Lord and as part of our spiritual growth. We give thanks for God's provisions, our daily bread, and all the things he blesses us with. We also give thanks for God's protection, and because by giving thanks, that helps protect us from becoming a grumbling people like we read about in Exodus 16 when God had delivered his people out of Egyptian slavery, and then they didn't have any food, and even though he was a miracle-working God who'd done great miracles, God's people are found grumbling. Having a thankful heart protects us from becoming a grumbling people and so forth. We also give thanks to build up the body of Christ and as part of our prophetic gospel witness. But anyways, with those thoughts in mind, we're looking at this one example in the Bible today of God's people giving thanks. And again, the Ark of the Covenant has come into Jerusalem, and it's a time for celebration. And earlier in 1 Chronicles 16, David gave instruction for the Levites to minister in song and so forth. And then in verse 7, then on that day, on the day the ark comes in, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph. Some of the psalms are by him and his brothers. And then this song begins. And you can see in the back of your sermon notes that this psalm, verses 8 through 36, this song, is actually the words from three different psalms, Psalm 105, Psalm 96, and Psalm 106. So if you'd like to do a little comparison, those notes are there for you in your own time. But what we have here is David taking the words of other psalms, putting them together to fit the context of what's going on. They are giving thanks to Yahweh, because David is now on the throne, some good things are going to happen, and among all this that's going on, the ark has come into Jerusalem. God's presence is with his people in a real special way. So a question. Are we a people who worships the Lord and gives thanks through song? And do we recognize and take to heart that having a thankful heart and giving thanks is part of our gospel witness? Notice the rest of verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Making known his deeds is a call to tell what God has done. And it includes what God is doing and ultimately will do. But for the Old Testament Israel, that would call to mind things like God's promise to Abraham, and how through Isaac and Jacob he raised up a people, and then through Joseph prepared that people to be provided for during years of famine, and then brought them out of Egyptian slavery, and then fed them in the wilderness miraculously with manna from heaven for 40 years. And then how even in the days when the judges ruled and everyone did what was right in their own eyes, God was still faithful, working through the lives of Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth, who ends up getting married to Boaz, and God provides for them in a special way, and then through them comes King David and ultimately Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Make known his deeds. And those deeds also include what he has done to bring salvation to a lost world. And so notice again here the call. Give thanks to the Lord and make known his deeds among the peoples. And the idea here of peoples is the Gentile world out there, people who don't know Yahweh. And the call for you and I is similar. We're in a different context, but the principle is the same. We are to be a people who gives thanks to the Lord. The way we give thanks is through many ways: prayer, song, telling God thank you, telling other people thank you. One of the examples I gave last Sunday is, here's how we give thanks. We actually say the word thank you. Some people, maybe we're not very good at that, like saying the words, I am sorry. We say thank you, literally tell, or we can actually write out a card, even though it's the 21st century, we can give someone a card, a thank you, and you can send a thank you text and so forth. But are we a thankful people? And part of the way we give thanks is through song, like here in 1 Chronicles 16. And we recognize that not only giving thanks, it's both an act of worship, it's also part of our gospel witness. We proclaim the gospel, which literally means good news. But if we are a people who are not coming across as very thankful, we're grumbling, we're complaining, it kind of undermines our gospel witness. Now, that doesn't mean we go around acting like everything's okay, or that we never speak up about things that are wrong. Not saying that. But our prophetic voice and our gospel witness should rise out of us being a people who are known for giving thanks, including giving thanks in song, and how that goes together with our gospel witness, so that the lost world around us will look at us, and by the grace of God and in the Spirit's power, they'll be like, wow, there's something about Tracy and Naomi, or Abby and Monty. There's something that I see in them. And even though maybe they're having a tough time in life, they are a thankful people. Where's that gratitude come from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from knowing Yahweh, the Lord. And our thankful hearts, which is partially expressed through song, goes together with our gospel witness, so that we can make his deeds known to each other, but also to the lost world around us, that he's an awesome God, that the gospel is good news, that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Second, for verse 9, sing praises to him, proclaiming his wondrous works. Summary here of verse 9. So first a call to give thanks, and now specifically in song. Verse 9, sing to him. Let's stop there for a moment. Part of what we are as God's people is a singing people. Now, some people like music more than others. Those that do like music, maybe like different types of music and so forth. But here's one of the marks of being a Christian. One of the marks of being the church. One of the marks of being God's people. We are a singing people. Now, some of us can sing better than others, and again, some of us might like songs or whatever more than others, but as the people of God, we are a singing people. We have something awesome to sing about, and that's Yahweh the Lord, hallelujah, and the salvation he's brought, amen? Amen. Amen. So, let's be a people that does this first part of verse 9. We sing to him. Sing to him, sing praises to him. We sing to the Lord for many reasons, and that includes praise. And as I said earlier, the idea of thanksgiving and praise go hand in hand here. Again, the call to give thanks has the idea of when giving thanks with an upward praise. And now the psalmist is saying, sing to him, sing praises to him. And again, this is on a day in which the Ark of the Covenant is being brought into Jerusalem. And God's people know that means the holy presence of the all-powerful, one and only true God is back with us in Jerusalem. For you and I, we don't have the Ark. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Songs of praise and thanksgiving are part of worship. They're also part of our witness. And that witness is not just a witness to the world, but to one another and to our kids. Part of the way we instruct one another, part of the way we instruct our children as they grow up, is by teaching the things of God, teaching the scriptures, but also using song. And probably many, if not all of us, can think of a song that has inspired us down through our Christian lives, and how, and maybe you've noticed this with songs or with poems or so forth, that there's something about when you have a song, or if it's in a poem or other types of literary expression like that, that it's easier to remember. Amy's got all the names in the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1 memorized. I'm not quite sure how she did it. Is that like a poem? It's a song. Okay, so, some names that I can't even really pronounce correctly, but so the point here being, we sing praises to the Lord, and as we do so, we're giving him thanks, and we are telling of his wondrous works, which is witness, and it's also instruction for the people of God. And ironically, as we do this, it'll help us give more thanks. Because part of the reason we give thanks is we've been taught about the greatness of God. Part of the way we're taught about the greatness of God is through song. And part of what songs do is teach us again about how awesome God is. So let's do what Psalm or 1 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, and let's be that type of people, the singing people. Number 3, for verse 10, glory in his holy name, with hearts that are rejoicing. Verse 10, glory in his holy name. Biblically speaking, God's name, when we'll speak about God's name, that's another way of saying his being and his presence. And so we glory in him. We glory in his name, a name that's holy. It's set apart. He is the one and only true God, the I Am, the Yahweh, the eternal sovereign God who is. We glory in his holy name. So let's think a moment. What is it that we find that we are choosing to glory in? And maybe we don't always think in those terms, but let me ask it a couple different ways. What's our identity in as a person, or as a people, or as a church, or as a family? When you think about yourself, and you think about who am I? What's my identity in? What am I finding glory in? Is it ultimately the Lord? And that doesn't mean that we can't be thankful or have some type of identity in other things about ourselves. But ultimately, that our glory is in the Lord. We glory in his name. We find our purpose, our meaning, our joy in him. Hallelujah. And notice in verse 10 how this theme of rejoicing is connected with thanksgiving. And we saw that in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. Which is like in Philippians 4. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And then Paul goes on to and says to offer up prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. So rejoicing and thanksgiving, they go hand in hand. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those, this is the end of verse 10, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. To rejoice is to be joyful in the Lord, to think about the Lord, to experience his presence, and to, as we meditate on him, to be joyful and have a hearts that are lifted upward, finding our joy in him. We are rejoicing. Our hearts are rejoicing. And that is, if we're a people who's seeking the Lord, joy will then be found in us. If we're a Christian, we naturally have joy in us. And that causes us to rejoice, but it's also something that needs to be nurtured and disciplined. Because of our sin nature, because we're sinners, we are not naturally joyful people. But as Christians, we have a supernatural joy that's already in us, but God calls us to nurture that joy and to be disciplined in expressing that joy. And as we do so, that helps draw out that joy that's already in us. And it's contagious. It rubs off on us. So let's be a people who are glorying in His holy name. We have hearts, we are seeking the Lord, and we're rejoicing. And this idea of seeking the Lord then is built upon in the next verse. So number 4, seek the Lord in His strength and seek His presence continually. Verse 11, building on the theme of seeking. Seek the Lord, seek Yahweh and His strength. The Christian life is one in which we continue seeking the Lord, even though we've already found Him. And we found Him because, in reality, He first found us. Meaning, not that He didn't know where we were, but He drew us to Himself by grace. And we, from our perspective, it's like, I found the Lord. Well, yeah, that's true. That's because He brought you to Himself. But part of the Christian life is we are seeking a God who we've already found. And we're seeking Him by grace and in the Spirit's power. And we are seeking Him as, that's part of what a disciple is, a follower, following Jesus. And we do so for different reasons, and there's two things emphasized here. One is that we seek the Lord in His strength. Bear in mind that this chronicles, well, first of all, that David is giving this psalm. He's taken it from other psalms, and he's choosing certain words. And it's to a people who, this is a good day. The Ark of the Covenant's being brought in Jerusalem, so the presence and power and glory of God is coming in Jerusalem. But even with that happening, there's still a reminder, we still need to seek the Lord. Don't ever think that we've arrived. Then also, remember that Chronicles, which is telling this true event, is being written to a people who didn't have much going for them in life. This is after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. They're no longer a powerful nation as Israel. And Chronicles is writing to instruct God's people, not only to tell them what's happened, but to write in a way to encourage them. And so part of that call is, let's be a people, even though the glory days of the past are no longer with us, let's be a people who are seeking the Lord and His strength. And we need His strength because we're a minority people living in a fallen, evil world. And then notice, along with strength, the emphasis on God's presence, the end of verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. And the idea of presence is a natural theme here as the ark is being brought into Jerusalem, in which the presence of God dwelt there on the ark, and then as it would be put in the tent and then ultimately the temple when it was built under King Solomon. And there's an emphasis here on seeking the Lord, and this is one of the blessings, first of all as a believer and then specifically as a Christian, where we don't need to be in Jerusalem near the ark, near the tent or the temple to experience God's presence. We are the people of God scattered throughout this world, throughout all the Gentile nations. But as Christians, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we're called to seek that presence. The presence of God that's already with us, we're called to seek. That's how we get strength. That's how we find motivation and joy and wisdom to sing praises to Him. And it's part of why we're a thankful people, because we're seeking Him. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And so we do so. And we do so in different ways. By reading the Scriptures. By praying. By having Christian conversations with one another, being part of a small group, a Bible study, singing songs together, singing songs ourselves, playing Christian music, meditating on the Lord throughout the day. as we saw last Sunday about praying without ceasing, doesn't mean we're literally praying all day long, but that we go throughout our day with an awareness of our dependency on the presence of God who's with us. Hallelujah. So let's be like David says here, and like the people are singing, that we're seeking the Lord, we're seeking His strength, we're seeking His presence. And as we do so, it's all the more going to make us want to be a people who's singing Him, who's singing His praises, and who's giving thanks to Yahweh. Hallelujah. So first we give thanks to the Lord. Second, sing praises to Him. Third, glory in His holy name. Fourth, seek the Lord. Fifth, and finally, remember His wondrous works. As the chosen children of our faithful covenant-keeping God. Verse 12. Along with this call to give thanks, to sing, to glory in, and to seek the Lord, is this call to remember. Verse 12. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. One of the important biblical themes that can get overlooked, because it might be a word that doesn't captivate us as much or get our attention as other words, is the call to remember. Biblically speaking, the idea when the Bible, whether it's Old or New Testament, calls us to remember, it has the idea of, it includes thinking about God and what He's done, but in a way in which we're taking to heart what God has done, it's moving us to worship Him, and it's changing who we are on the inside, and it affects how we live. So when the Bible calls us to remember, it has this idea of, it's not just, let's talk for a moment about something about God or something He's already done. But it has this idea of taking to heart what Scripture says about God and what God has done. And we take it to heart and we think on it. We remember it. And then that should change who we are and make us more and more like Jesus as we remember who God is and what He's done. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. And for God's people, when they first sang it there in the day of David, and then as those people would have read it after the author of Chronicles wrote it, this would have included, and for us today, things like what God did through Abraham and Sarah, and with Isaac and Jacob, through Joseph, through deliverance from Egyptian slavery in the wilderness, then bringing them into the promised land with the walls of Jericho falling down, and then in the days when the judges ruled and His faithfulness to Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, and then raising up the prophet Samuel, and then after King Saul and his unfaithfulness, raising up King David, and then even in spite of Israel's idolatrous sin and God disciplining and punishing them by sending them to Babylonian captivity, then He's still with them during those 70 years and then brings them out. And then after a couple hundred years more, finally the Messiah arrives. And then 2,000 some years later, here you and I are by the grace of God, and we're still called, remember the Lord and the wondrous works that He's done. And again, part of that calls for us to know the Scriptures, for us to read the Old Testament and the New Testament, to teach it to one another, and to sing it, like we do in this church and many other churches, that we'll sing songs that either literally are Scripture or that tell the story of what God has done in Scripture. Hallelujah. And of course, one set of songs that are obvious with that is the Christmas carols that we'll be singing in the upcoming weeks. But we're called to remember His wondrous works. And notice here this double emphasis. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. These are wondrous works. He's done them. Remember that. He's the one that does it. Hallelujah. His miracles and the judgments He uttered. In the Bible, the wondrous things God does includes His judgment. In fact, our salvation includes God's judgment on the lost world that won't repent. That should humble us. But we also recognize that salvation is not just we're being saved from our sin, but also we're being saved from the wickedness of this world that God will bring an end to one day. Hallelujah. And for those that are still part of the unbelieving world, if you're listening right now, you have a chance to turn from unbelief, to turn from living life on your terms, to turn from going your own way to our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. To put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. and to ask him to forgive your sins and to make you a new creation and adopt you into the family of God and give you the power of the Holy Spirit to live a godly life and do so in the fellowship of the church. Hallelujah. And then notice verse 13, which has this idea of us as the chosen children of a faithful covenant-keeping God. O offspring of Israel, his servant. So the call here is to remember the wondrous works that he has done. And then David is reminding us of who it is that's to remember. Offspring of Israel, his servant. The children of Israel. And in the Psalm, Psalm 105 that this is taken from, Israel is actually Abraham, but it can be used interchangeably. And for you and I, if we're Christians, that includes us. We know from places like Romans 4 and Galatians 3 that if we're a Christian, we are children of Abraham by faith. We're adopted into the family of God. So, O offspring of Israel, his servant, remember his wondrous works. O offspring of Israel's servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. God has chosen us, not so that we can live in an arrogant boastfulness of like, oh, I'm a chosen person, but chosen us by grace and for a purpose to bear witness in this lost world and to encourage one another as the people of God to be found doing what is said here in these marvelous verses, giving thanks to the Lord, giving thanks to Yahweh as a people who are rejoicing in the fact that and for us today, the presence of God is with us. He dwells within us, and we're called to be a people, a singing people, who sings his praises with gratitude, with thanksgiving. Singing to him, seeking him, so that our hearts might keep rejoicing, glorying in his holy name, and remembering the wondrous works that he has done. Giving thanks to the Lord as we seek his presence continually, and bearing in mind that this overarching call to give thanks is part of how we worship the Lord, which he's worthy of. It's also part of our gospel witness, proclaiming his wondrous works, making known among the peoples what he has done. So let's be that type of people, and let's enjoy our great, awesome, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. Let's pray.